up my treasures in that home above. Trusting fully, trusting in the Savior's love. Doing what I can for heaven's holy dove. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. Keeping my record bright, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Trusting in the riches of His saving grace. In each earthly trial I His love can trace. Sure that up in heaven I shall find a place. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. Keeping my record bright, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. To prepare a mansion, Jesus said, I'll go. If it were not true, I would have told you so. Just a little while to linger here below. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. Keeping my record bright, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. One more time. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. Keeping my record bright, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready to leave this world.
Good morning. How are y'all doing? Remain standing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this place that we can come and worship today. And Lord, we do thank you for the rain. How precious it is to see the drops flow from heaven, to re-nourish the ground, to make things grow. And Lord, as the seasons change, we're reminded of your sovereignty and how great a God you are. You take care of everything. You make mountains move. You make rivers flow. And Lord, in our lives today, we want that grace to flow through us as we feel it on this place. Lord, let the Holy Spirit move about his people. And God, I know there's people in here today that may not have it all together or may have things going on in their lives they don't just understand. But this is the place to come, the hospital, to get healed up, to get restored. And we just bend our knee, Father. We get on our knees for you and understand that we look to your glory. And we know that you're in control of everything, and we give it all to you, whether it be medical, whether it be financial, whether it be just a difference we have with somebody else. God, we want to give that up today in this very place. Let your word be preached to us as we enter into this time of worship. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Come on, kids. Where y'all at? I got a cool deal up here. None of y'all ever seen one of these before. Well, you might have seen daddy, granddaddy, aunt, uncle, mama. Mama's got one of these in her house. You know what it is? Mama's got one of these in her house. She uses it whenever she measures stuff. What does mama use? A tape. What does your mama's tape measure look like? Does it look like this?
No.
It don't? What does it look like? It's one of those little girly ones in it, like that. It goes zing. Yeah, it's real. It's maybe made out of fiberglass. What does she measure with it? Huh? Y'all come on over here. I gotta be over here where I can look at you. James is gonna sit over here with you. He'll go. Come over here. I wanna see you over here. Come over here. What does this do? It measures. And what does it have on it? Can you tell me? What does those? What do those numbers say? They say a lot. One, there's a 5, 7, 8, 9, 10. You know what? This thing has little bitty numbers in between, too. That some of them are called cheater tapes, but this one's not. They got 16ths, they got 8ths, they got quarters. All those different things that make up 1 inch. And then a 1 inch makes up a 12 inches, which is a foot. And it gets more and more and more. And it gets longer and longer and longer. And it gets longer and longer and longer. It gets longer. Where's my verse at, Miss Barbara? I'm looking up for it. And it gets longer and longer and longer. You know, and it says that verse. Let's read that verse up there. What does it say? Congregation, read it with me. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
It's bigger than anybody.
His love is bigger than anybody. It's even bigger than this tape measure.
And it
grows. Oh, anyway. And you know what's cool about his love? There's no way you can measure how deep it is. There's no way you can measure how wide it is. Because it's the greatest of all. And he loves you that much. Did you know he loves you more than a tape measure? The length of it, this 25-footer? Did you know that? It's crazy to understand the fathom and the love that he has for you. But it says it right there on that verse. And now I'm not going to do it again. What I want you to get out of it is, though, his love is immeasurable. It grows. And for you, church, the love you have for each other here in Christ, it grows a whole lot longer than this tape when we're all in one accord. And that's what we're teaching these kids. How the measure of love is, it can't be measured. It's greatest of all. He gave it all for you and I that we may know him and to receive him as our Savior. All right, boys and girls, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We know your love cannot be measured. It's nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing can separate us from it. Lord, help us to understand that we're all precious in your eyes. We're all special to you. You created us with a love that we can't even understand. Help us to have that same love for others in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, church. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God and the mountain of his holiness. That's the beginning of Psalm 48. When the children of Israel were going into the temple on the Sabbath day, they would sing praises. And they would sing it right out of the book of Psalms. And that's what we have. We have the book of Psalms. And that's why when we come into God's presence, we sing. We sing praise. We offer him worship. Now, God doesn't require that we be good at it, which I'm grateful for, but he just likes to hear the voices of his children singing unto him. So when our worship team leads us back into worship, let your voices be heard unto God.
This little light of mine, this little light of mine.
I will tremble at no other name. My heart surrendered to no other reign. I will bow in no other throne and rest my heart in no other home. Let these hands have no other crown. Let these knees fall on no other ground. Draw these eyes from the gold that won't shine and turn this life from water into wine. Lord, I tremble. Take my breath with every starry night. You show your power in downtown city lights. You are higher than the tallest of the hills and stronger than the walls we try to build. You blind me with the beauty of your face. You draw me close with your divine embrace. You speak to me with healing in your words. Fix the things I didn't know were hurt. Lord, I tremble, I tremble, oh Lord, in your presence, oh, in your presence, oh Lord, I tremble, I tremble, oh Lord, in your presence, oh, in your presence. To you alone we my praise. Lord. Oh, who can take the place my of? Lord. Oh, what compares to your my love? Lord. For everything that you've done, to you alone we praise. Oh, who can take the place of? Oh, what compares to your love? For everything that you've done. To you alone we praise. You invented all of time and space. Yes, you did. Called the morning and midnight into place. Tamed the mountains and went tamed the water season. Still you set your holy eyes on me. I will always live in wonder of the fact that I awaken jealous love. Eternity will almost be enough. Eternity will almost be enough. Lord, I tremble. I tremble.
This is like a family reunion. Everybody brings something. It should not just be a feast that you show up to. You should bring something. We're all brothers and sisters. We are all part of God. So when we start to sing this next song, y'all get to feeling froggy on this. Help us sing it. and not just because you're helping us sing, but praise, use your words and your heart to the Lord God Almighty. He is a good, good Father, and let's let His children sing His praises this morning.
How great!
We serve a great, great God. Amen. We serve a great, great God. Amen.
Amen.
It don't matter how bad we're doing, how good we're doing. Jesus is King. He's on His throne. He's forever and ever, always good, all the time. And that's the King we serve. He's not just good, He's great. And we tremble at His voice and we tremble at His name. Father God, I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to speak. Lord, I thank You, Father, it's not about me and it's not about anything here. Lord, it's about You. Lord, that we're here and we gathered and we come together to be built up in Your name. I thank You, Lord, that this isn't just a good church service and that this wouldn't just be a good Sunday tradition, but Lord, that this would be a time and a place where we can learn who we are in You and what we're called to be. Lord, our purpose on the earth, and I thank You, Father, that we can't have our purpose fulfilled without the person of Jesus living in us. I thank You, Lord, that You've called us, Lord, to truly tremble at Your face, to tremble at Your voice, to tremble at Your presence. I thank You, Lord, that we are a people, Lord, drawn to Your presence. Lord, I thank You that You've made access by Holy Spirit through a bloody, rugged cross that You're no longer on, but that You put Yourself in a tomb for 3 days to be resurrected in new life. And I pray, Lord, that this morning that the words that I speak would be straight from Your throne. And I thank You, Lord, that when You spoke to me, it was for me. And Lord, that I can digest it and eat it and give it back to You for Your people, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that You would be glorified above all things. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I believe this message today is a prophetic word for His people. I personally have a way of study. I just read the Bible in my own time, and when God speaks to me, my prayer is that I have something to say. So it's just kind of simple, because I'm a simple person and I need simple instructions. And if you know me well enough, that's an amen. So I want to talk to you this morning. The message that I called it doesn't really need a title, but the message that I called it is From Cave to Kingdom. And God's purpose in our discontentment. We can get really, really easily discontented right now in the world if we look at where the world is and the state of our nation. And to some degree, we should be discontented in where we are and the things that are going on. The things that are going on with our schools nationally, the things that are going on in our government, the things that we deal with every day. And I'm going to bring up a few points, but ultimately the Christian life is about living in a contented place with Jesus that surpasses the discontentment of this world. If we allow our discontentment in this life to change our focus and to change who we are, will never manifest Jesus on the earth. So it's important that we allow our discontentment to lead us to a place of change, to where we become the change that's needed in our environment. Amen? We're going to be in 1 Samuel 22. I talk a lot about David. It's just I've done a lot of study on him and the things going on in his life in this time, and the Lord just keeps bringing things to me. So if it seems like I'm in a cycle every time I'm up here and I talk about David, it's just the cycle I'm in and the cycle that I feel like God would have us share from. So there's a holy, desperate cry in God's people, and sometimes it has to be channeled through rough patches and through rough seasons and discontented places. And so in 1 Samuel 22, verse 1, I want to start reading there. It says, David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. David's in a place, a cave called Adullam. And this was actually an enemy region, the Philistines. that they were at war with, that the nation was at war with. And I don't know if you're aware, but when you entered into a relationship with Jesus, you entered a spiritual war. I know some of the youth have heard me say that before, but when you entered into Jesus, you entered into a fight. And Paul said to Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternity. And so that's when you enter into. We didn't come to Jesus and enter into his presence just for a ticket one day so that we're just coast along and then when we cross over into eternity that we're sound. But we actually entered into a spiritual war that we fight day in and day out by the presence of God that lives in us. He overcame, he won the war, the victory in Christ Jesus, and he overcome the world, and that overcomer lives inside of us. Amen. But sometimes we can find ourselves in a place of discontentment, and we can find ourselves in a place of desperation, and we can even find ourselves going to a cave. Some time ago, you started to hear the phrase man cave, and which men would come up with ways to, I guess, escape the nature of the day or create hunting lodges or whatever, and they begin to call them man caves. And then somewhere along the way, the ladies got involved and they created she sheds. And so there was this place where you went to in this cave, or this place where when you're discontented, maybe you can find a little peace or quiet time. And David found this place in Adullam. He's actually running from the enemy, and he's actually running from Saul. And so you have a king in place who's being led by man's intention and man's nature, and you have a chosen future king named David who is appointed to be king, but he's running, and he's hiding in a cave. And it's because of the desperation and the discontentment. So we see him in Adullam, and it says, when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, that he was in the cave, they went down there to him, and everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. We see three things. We see a gathering of people that had three things going on in their life. They were desperate, they were in distress, they were in debt, and they were discontented. Three things. They were in distress, they were in debt, and they were discontented. The first one I want to talk about is our distress. Our distress. When you look up this word distress, it actually means straits. Straits. They were distressed, and they were led into a place of straight place, a place of narrow struggle. I believe it's in Matthew 7:21. I believe. If I've got that scripture. Maybe not. Matthew 7, where it's talking about the straight and the narrow is the way. 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So when we enter into a straight place, it's actually in a distressful place. The kingdom of God is not without distress. Amen? We don't fight the fight of the good faith and not have distress in our life. But we actually have to channel our distress into producing the kingdom of God and the will of the Father. And so there's places where we find ourselves in distress. And these men were distressed on every side. And they were in debt. They were in debt. In Matthew, He talks about the ransom that was paid for our life, and that Jesus came and he paid the ransom note, that we were in debt to the enemy. If you don't know Jesus and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, you're actually living in spiritual debt. And Jesus has paid it all. And sometimes we just see the effects of the debt that we've built up before God. And it's a place where we come to God and we find ourselves discontented, and we find a place and a cave maybe to go to where we can pour that out before the Lord and give him that because he paid for it. Amen? It's important that we live from a place of contentment, even in our discontentment, because Jesus is enough. Hebrews 13:5. In Hebrews 13:5. Contentment in discontentment. Hebrews 13:5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you had, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, when we become content, even in our discontentment, we see the Lord begin to work because he has to be enough. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so I ask you the question, is Jesus enough that he's with you even in your desperate times, even in your distresses, even in your narrow way? Narrow is the way that leads to life. And with that narrow way comes distress in our life. So they were in distress, and they were in debt, and they were discontent. In Psalms chapter 34, David actually wrote this psalm during this time of the cave. And it's so interesting how the Lord works. When Brother Carl was talking about the Psalms and how we go to Psalms 34, and this psalm 34 was actually written during the time of David's escape and in the time of the cave. And in the verse 1, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall be continually in my mouth. Let me ask you a question. Is your praise continual in your distress and in your debt and in your discontentment? Because David is now living in a cave. He's anointed as king, not seeing the kingdom yet. And yet he's in a cave and he's got all this going on, and he's surrounded by people that are desperate to live out truth and to live out God-given purpose. And he writes this in the verse and he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Even in this cave, I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to bless his name. And my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. In verse 4, it says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. I sought the Lord and he heard me. The problem is in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is the solution for the problems on the earth. When Jesus said, go and preach, saying the kingdom of God is at hand. And so we have physical problems with spiritual solutions. Amen? And the problems that we face is we can get in distress, we can get in debt, and we can get discontented. And all of those problems and all of that cure is through one piece of advice. What did David do? I sought the Lord and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. You know, sometimes if we're honest, we'll have a bad day and we'll get upset at Betty Sue, and I'm sorry if your name's Betty Sue, and we'll go and we'll call five other people about the distress and the debt that they caused us and the desperation that we're in, the discontentedness that we're in, and we'll rant and rave to someone else about Betty Sue. And David said, I didn't do any of that. What did David do? He sought the Lord. And the Lord did what? He delivered me from all my fears. You have a man who's literally being attacked by his father-in-law, pursued to death by the man that he spent years with and the father of his best friend. And that had to hurt David. But instead of calling five other people to talk about King Saul, and instead of causing a war against King Saul, he didn't even pursue him. What did he do? He sought the Lord. He found a cave, and he sought the Lord. Some of us, our solutions that we have from day in and day out is because we haven't sought the Lord. Some of us, we've called five other people to talk about our problems, and our problems are still here. Why? Because the solution is in Psalms 34. In my distress, in my discontentment, in my desperation, I sought the Lord, and he heard me. Seeking the Lord doesn't come without effect. When we truly seek the Lord for his will. Now, oftentimes, we'll seek God for our own desires and for our own interests, and we get nothing back. Because in the book of James, it says, you ask and you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own desires. But he also says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. Amen? So we need to come to a place in the church where we're defined by a place that when we get desperate over what God's interested in, we begin to seek his face. And we begin to seek him out, and he delivers us. It says they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. It says in Psalms 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. When we lose the fear of the Lord as a people, we've lost God's encampment around us. The problems that we have in the nation are because the nation has lost the fear of the Lord. So his encampment around his people is withdrawn because the fear of the Lord is not there. So he allows his people to go through distress and debt and discontentment. And that discontentment has to lead, all of those things have to lead us back to the place of finding the answer. Amen? Our circumstances change when we get into a cave and we get connected to him. Our discontentment is rooted in a disconnect. If you think about it, why is it that we have the problems that we do and other people have the same struggles and yet they seem so contentment sometimes? And we look at them and we're like, why is there so much peace on their life? And they have the same problems I do. And that's the nature of the Christian. That's what the church is supposed to look like. in the midst of the same struggles, in the midst of the same problems, that we actually have a peace and a contentment in seeking the Lord because we know whom we're delivered by. Amen? And so that's the kingdom of God on the earth, that there's spiritual solutions that are being given to His people in the middle of all of these problems. You say, well, I have distress in my life and sickness, and I have, and the world has the same, and I have debt in my life, and the world has the same, and I have discontentment with how things are going, and the world has the same. But what about our life looks different than the world? Is how we deal with those problems through seeking out the Lord. Because the world will seek out every other answer known to man, and the church, when it gets to a place of straits and distress, it becomes, I'm going to seek out God's will for my life. I'm going to go into a cave and I'm going to find what I'm called to be and who I'm called to be in. The Lord delights in using broken, incapable, and desperate people. He delights in it. The Lord chooses broken men because once they are built, they know who they are built by. The reason God allows our life to be broken is because He uses a broken and a contrite heart. Because without the brokenness of God in our life, we'll think that we're put together in ourselves. If you go back and you read all of the Gospels and how Jesus was so harsh to the Pharisees and to church people, and the number one thing problem he had with them is you don't need me. Basically, he looked at the Pharisees and said, the problem that you have is that you just don't need me. He said, you're clean on the outside, but on the inside, you're whitewashed tombs. You're full of dead men's bones. And so you're full of everything but life because you haven't sought me. And sometimes if we're honest in the church and sometimes even in ministry, we can look at every opportunity to do something well and we can look at these other ministers or we can look at these other people and say, man, I need to do that. I need to kick that event off or I need to do something like that. And all it does is build our distress and never fixes it. Why? Because we're not seeking the Lord in it. And so our life has to be a people that have sought the Lord and was heard by the Lord. Because when we become a people who seek after the presence of God and are heard by Him, we'll live changed forever. There's no going back. Because the change is the change. And it's evident for all to see. Sometimes we need to just stop getting more word and receive the power of His word. Amen? Sometimes we get so caught up in word study where words just become words. And I've been praying this week that the church understand that it's a church rooted to know and reveal the power of God on the earth. The Western church, the church in America is so desperately in need of demonstrating the power of God when we come together. Because we can live according to the Word, and we can seek after a Word, and we can go and get filled up by the Word, but if the Word never creates change in us, the power of God won't be revealed. The scary thing is that the devil knows the word. He don't surrender to his power. Does my problem cause me to answer to God's solution? What I mean by that is, again, does my problem cause me to answer to God's solution? Does my problem lead me back to seeking the Lord in it? Sometimes we get discontented enough, but yet not enough to actually pursue the Lord in it. Jude 1:20 through 21. You can read the whole book of Jude very quickly, by the way, because it is one chapter, which we will not do. Jude 1, 20 through 21. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ until eternal life. What do you do when you go to a cave? What do you do when life puts you in that cave? What do you do when your enemies surround you on every side? What do you do when you're in distress and you're in debt and you're discontented? Jude says it. But beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God and looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ until eternal life. When we go into a cave and we seek out the presence of God and we find Him there and we build ourselves up on the love of God and the most holy faith, by the time we come out of the cave, we can step into the kingdom and the will of God that He has for our life. Amen? The cave is not meant to define you. The cave was meant to change you. The cave was not meant to define you. The cave was meant to change you. Psalms, or 1 Samuel 22, we go back to it. It says that those men were about 400 men. There were 400 of these men. In 2 Samuel 23, verse 12. 2 Samuel 23, verse 12. It talks about this cave again, and it talks about the effect of what happened with those 400 men in the cave. Those that were in distress, those that were in debt, and those that were discontented. And in 2 Samuel 23, verse 12, it says, But he stationed himself in the middle of the field and defended it and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Who brought about a great victory? The Lord. And then three of the 30 chief men went down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines encamped in the valley. David was in the stronghold, and the garrison of Philistines was with them in Bethlehem. So the cave actually became the stronghold of the captains of people that gathered there, and they were all like-minded. But here's the thing, they were all in distress, and they were all in debt, and they were all discontented enough to gather together and come together to create a people that create change in their nation. The scripture tells us that when we come together as the body of Christ, we come together to be built up in the knowledge of Him so that when we leave, we become the service and the work of God on the earth, the ministering hands of Jesus on the earth. So what brings us here may be discontentment and desperation and problems in our life. But when we can come in here, maybe it's a cave for a little while, but maybe it leads to change in our environment and in our families and in our workplaces and in our schools and in our life. Amen? They didn't go to the cave to just dwell in the problems. They went to the cave to create a solution. And they went to the cave to seek the Lord together. In Acts 13, 21 through 22, it says, And afterward they asked for a king. And so God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David, a king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. How do we become like David's testimony? God said of David, I will raise him up, and he'll be a man after my own heart, and he'll do all my will. David was not a perfect man, but he was a broken and a contrite heart, it says. And so when we become broken before the Lord and we become contrite, we become convicted at the presence of God and we seek Him, we become the people that fulfill His will. And we won't fulfill the will of God apart from it. In Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 4, verse 25. We see it again. Who by the mouth of your servant David have said, verse 26, why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? For the kings of the earth took their stand, and their rulers gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. The problems that we face in the world, the war that we wage spiritually in the world, whether it's the war of divorce that's in the church as much as it's in the world, whether it's the war of alcoholism that's in the church, whether it's the war of so many different things in our families and that are separating us, those are spiritual things that we fight. And those things and the wars in our government and the things that are coming against the church and our rights to stand in freedom and all of those things are not against you. They're not against you first. You know what I think that David's, one of David's solutions to seeing problems is that he saw that the world was against him, but he saw that it was against the Lord first. And so when you see your problems are against the will of God, and the will of God is in you, and nothing can overcome God, and nothing can overtake Him because He's won the victory through Christ Jesus, and when we see that for what it is, then our life is unshakable. And we enter into the kingdom of God by living through these problems, but yet looking to see how it's going to change, not how to deal with the change. If we're honest, it's easier to deal with change than it is to live changed. But David was not content in living discontented. He said, these wars, they rage in vain against the Lord and against His Christ. He said, the war that I'm fighting is against God. And so, how am I going to be overtaken by this? I walk with Him, I seek Him, I live in Him, He lives through me. How can I be overtaken? He's undefeatable. He's put all things under His feet. And so I can't allow my discontentment, I can't allow a contented place of discontentment. I have to go into the cave and I have to see change. Colossians 1, 12 and 13. This is the good news. In the midst of our frustrations, in the midst of the Betty Sue's, the gossip, and all of the other things, we have this verse in Colossians 1, 12 and 13, and he says, giving thanks for the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. All of these people who came to the cave, they were in debt, they were discontented, they were desperate and in despair, and they weren't considered to be qualified for the job. Amen? How many of us don't feel qualified to enter the kingdom of God and be known as children of God? We don't feel qualified. He made us qualified. He qualified us through the cross. When He shed His holy blood and we repented of our sin and we surrendered to Jesus, He made you qualified in the beloved. And that's the place where we live from, and that's the place where we fight from. In Colossians 1:13, he says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. How many of us know that that's a past tense? Read it again. It's past tense. He has delivered us, delivered, past us from the power of darkness and conveyed us in the kingdom of the Son of His love. We have to see that we've been conveyed into the kingdom of His love and that it's past tense. He's done it. He's done away with it. And we stepped into a kingdom of light. So in the cave of despair and desperation, in that place, in that moment, in that time of maybe you're in a season, it's a season. It doesn't define your life. You're defined by the kingdom of God if you've received Him, if you've surrendered to Him. Hebrews 12:27-28 says, Now this yet once more indicates the removal of things that are being shaken. Do y'all feel like your life is being shaken? I feel it. I feel that there's things going on in the earth right now that things going on that never before seen things, it seems like. The things going on in Israel are very real things to that nation. And it's kingdoms that are being shaken. And God has to be revealed in and through those people before the end will come. It says, Now this yet once more indicates the removal of things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So it's one thing to seek God for His presence and seek change, and that once we've sought Him in His presence and once we have an answer and once He's given us life, that we begin to serve Him with godly fear and reverence. If you came into the kingdom of God and you surrendered your life to Jesus, you have a place to serve. Begin to ask yourself, God, where would you have me fit in this group of 400 men? What am I called to do? Because you have a place in the kingdom of God. Where am I called to fit? Our cave is not greater than our God-given purpose. John 3, chapter 3, verse 3 says, Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born again, unless one is changed. Some of us need to go into a cave of desperation and we need to pour it all out to the Lord. And we need to live changed, and we need to live born again. Every believer that ever walked the face of the earth had a cave. Every person has a cave. And that cave is meant for change. And that cave starts with problems and ends with solutions. Those 400 men that left the cave begin to see the kingdom established with David. But there was a fight involved. Every man of God, or every person of God, has a cave. David had a cave. Elijah was in a cave. Moses was at a turning point at the burning bush. That was his, so to speak, cave, a turning point. John the Beloved was at Patmos when he saw Revelation. He was exiled. He was put away. And the Apostle Paul was on the Damascus Road. And above all, Jesus in Luke 22, Jesus didn't enter a cave, but he entered a garden. And he says, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." That was the prayer of Jesus in the most desperate, discontented, debt, distress of his life. And he says, "Not my will, but yours be done." Jesus had a cave. It was just a garden. But had he not went through the garden, had he not said that prayer and committed to fulfilling that word, there would be no hope out of our cave. There would be no hope out of our distress and our debt and our discontentment. But because he did, we have. This isn't our home. This life that we live for 80 years will end. And we have to be found in the kingdom of God, and we have to be born again, because without it, this life is just meaningless. And some of us, I think we've allowed the distress of this world and what we see with our eyes become greater than the kingdom of God. And so I'll invite the band to come up and begin to play. And I just want to open the service for a little bit. Maybe make this place your cave. Amen. Make this place your cave. Make this place a place where you come with problems and you leave changed. And leave them in the cave. Stand with me if you would. Father God, just begin to move on your people, Lord. There's problems in this place that I don't know about, that only you know, and there's hearts that are in desperate need of answers. And Lord, I thank you that you conveyed us from darkness into light. And I thank you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And that your kingdom is established. And that your gospel says that we are seated with you in heavenly places. And that we are positioned with you. And I thank you, Father, that we just release right now the beginning of ministry on people who feel like they're in a cave and they feel like they're at war with so many different things in their life. But there's one answer to the problem, and it's, "I've sought the Lord and he heard me." And I thank you, Lord, that when we seek your face, it's impossible to come to you and not leave changed. And so, God, begin to just open us to what you want to do this morning with with people all over this place, Lord, that we just open ourselves to you. We just surrender to you, Jesus. And we give our lives to you so that you may be seen from it and lived through it. In Jesus' name, amen.